Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Eddie Jackson. Our front seven is not like most of the NFL. It's one of a kind. So when you go up against these guys, you know, you got Mac, you got Danny, you got Akeem, you got Eddie, you got Lynch that's going to come in and make a play. You got Zell, you got Roquan, you got just guys everywhere.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Hey, sports fans, it's football season, and the Radio.com app has you covered. Whether your favorite team is in your city or thousands of miles away, Radio.com has all your football coverage. And you'll also have access to sports shows like Jim Rome,
The Absolute Right Call,
Boomer and Geo, and so much more. Plus, you can stream every Clemson, LSU, Miami, and Notre Dame game. Listen to the football you want when you want. Radio.com on your desktop or download the free app now.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Mike Florio,
ProFootballTalk.com,
NBC Sports,
Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
He
get better, bet.
He get
better, bet.
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mike Florio joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Mike. How are you this morning?
Morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are living the dream, and here we are in Chicago with four consecutive losses. So, oh boy, this didn't go quite as planned.
I'm all about positivity.
Quarter of the season gone. Yeah, that's the only thing you can do is to be positive, because the alternative is I don't know if there is an alternative. We're talking about the quarterback here. Should they bench the quarterback? Should they come up with an offense? And you know, the weirdest thing is the idea that if you're a defense coordinator, you don't know what to stop because they really have nothing working.
At least there have been no cats on the field.
Exactly.
Right? There's always a silver lining somewhere. Yeah, I don't get it. That first half was so bad. The Mark Schlereth comment about the Sharks are in the water and Mitch Trubisky is a bag of chum. I mean, that pretty much summarizes the whole season. And I don't know what you do at this point. It's changing a tire on a moving car. That's how difficult it is to try to make drastic changes to an offense when the struggles are as bad as they've been. And I just don't know what you do.
At the midseason point, Mike, the Bears have played 8 games. When you look around the league, are they the most disappointing team in the NFL?
They're one of them. I mean, coming into the season, I looked at the NFC North and I said, this division is so wide open that any of the four teams can win it and any of the four teams can finish in fourth place, including the Bears. That's how tightly packed I saw those four teams. So I'm not stunned by this. As far as disappointment goes, they're on the wrong side of 500, and everyone expected them to at least be in the mix for a playoff berth halfway through. I mean, other teams like, you know, the Jets, I don't think anybody expected them to be 1-7. The Browns are probably more disappointing than the Bears at 2-6, but the Bears are in the conversation.
Yeah, Atlanta's pretty awful too. I mean, there's a lot of things to not like. Mike, I was watching you. Nice wide stance playing playing offensive tackle.
You Larry left Craig tackle. Would be proud, as Bobby V pointed out.
but it's fun to watch that show, because I agreed with everything that was being said. The idea that you kind of have to do that kind of mush rush, and you got to be careful about the quarterback, and then you watch the game, and that was as good a beating as you're going to see a Bill Belichick team get. They just were outclassed by one player. Is he the MVP?
I'd say he and Russell Wilson are right there. And the thing about Lamar Jackson, you have to be willing to look beyond the stats, especially the stats from Sunday night, 163 passing yards, 61 rushing yards, but the impact that he had on the game, phenomenal. And what he does, how he does it, and his game from Louisville, I didn't know whether or not it would translate to the NFL level because it's Louisville. It's a level below, a huge level below when you consider the caliber of the defenses he was facing at the college level. And he is as dominant, almost not quite as dominant, because he was just incredibly off the charts dominant with his running and his throwing at Louisville, but he's far closer than a lot of people thought he would be. And, you know, that demonstration about how to properly defend him, and the defensive ends need to not commit, because if you go inside, he'll run around to the outside. If you go outside, he'll go up the middle. Whatever you do by way of scout team to get ready for Lamar Jackson, the problem is you don't have Lamar Jackson to practice against. So you've got a great plan that's based upon what you've done in practice, but then you have to face Lamar Jackson and everything changes. And I think the key for the Patriots is they rely so much on precision and scheme and all this, but then you get out there and it becomes backyard. And when you have a guy who can run circles around your guys, it doesn't matter what you've planned during the week. He's physically superior to your guys.
And kudos to the Ravens coaching staff for finding ways to make that obvious and to take advantage of that rather than resisting the idea of you have an unorthodox quarterback. I mean, they're wrapping their arms around it, and it's working for them, and you're seeing the impact of one guy on the entire league.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the MVP race this year, although I don't love the fact that we don't find out who wins it until the night before the Super Bowl, at which point nobody cares anymore.
Right.
Right. But the idea of, is it Lamar Jackson? Is it Russell Wilson? Can Deshaun Watson get into the mix? Christian McCaffrey, is he viable? I still say keep an eye on Michael Thomas. No receiver's ever won it, but no receiver with tremendous stats for a high-achieving team had two different quarterbacks who would, you know, not get the votes. Because usually it's the quarterback who gets the votes that would otherwise go to the receiver. It's going to be Thomas this year if he stands out and if the Saints keep winning. So there's a lot of potential MVP candidates floating around. But right now, I'd say Lamar Jackson by a nose over Russell Wilson.
The good news for the Bears was the entire division lost. So the NFC North really ran into problems. You know, you can understand Kansas City, although Mahomes isn't playing. They beat the Vikings. You can understand, I guess, that the Packers were flat for a game out in L.A. against the Chargers. But I'm not sure where I'm at with Detroit and how that team is, and that's the Bears' next opponent, and they're trying to stop a four-game losing streak. Is this division not taken off in the way it's supposed to?
Well, nobody expected the Packers to be 7-1. Now, nobody expected them to lose to the Chargers on Sunday, and I'd love to know who Aaron Rodgers was talking about in his post-game press conference, because he never accidentally sends a message during his press conferences. He told Mike Tirico in an interview before the Packers-Chiefs game that he always is sending that message in the press conference, and he was upset about something with the preparation. Somebody was saying maybe they got out there to LA and they went out and had too good of a time Friday night. Who knows? But Packers at 7-2, Vikings are a little bit of a surprise at 6-3, although it wasn't a surprise they lost to the Chiefs, and it won't be a surprise when they lose to the Cowboys on Sunday night, because that's the Kirk Cousins DNA. Big game, holds the ball too tightly, misfires, makes bad decisions. He's too aware of the fact that it's a big game. So, you know, here's the thing about the Lions. They're 3-4-1. They could be 8-0. Now, look, you got to have a lot of things fall your way, but look at the games they lost and look at the game they tied. They were leading the Cardinals by 18 and they blew that lead. They had the Chiefs beaten. They had the Packers beaten. They had the Vikings on the ropes, and the Vikings pulled away at the end. They could have beaten the Raiders. Now, look, that's one of the reasons that bad teams become bad teams. They can never win those games, but the Lions have been very competitive this year. This is not going to be an easy game for anyone. You know, they're still going to lose their fair share, but they're not going to get blown out. And, they're a team that could give the Bears fits this weekend.
You know, Mike, last night it happened again in the Cowboys-Giants game with the pass interference controversy. It happened on Sunday in the Bears game where there was a blatant push-off. It seems as if, and I referenced this earlier in the show, has there been an edict from the league that you're not going to, you know, overturn any call on the field that it involves an egregious pass interference penalty? It's something, because the numbers indicate it, The eye test is there. It, all the evidence exists. What's going on here?
Yeah, here's what happened. Al Riveron, the senior VP of officiating, was making the rounds before the season, explaining how he was going to interpret and apply replay review for pass interference calls and non-calls. And he made it very clear, based upon reporting we've seen from folks at NFL Media who were part of the seminar, and I can tell you that he definitely was saying these things in other settings as well, breaking these plays down frame by frame for clear and obvious evidence of significant hindrance of receivers, and he was going to drop a flag if a flag needed to be dropped. And at some point along the way, between late August and the start of the season, someone told him, wherever you think the bar is dramatically higher. And so what we've seen, and the coaches keep spinning their wheels, it shows you how emotional they are, because sometimes it just like it feels good to drop an F-bomb sometimes, regardless of where you are with some limitations, it feels good to throw that red flag. If you're upset, just throw that red flag, even if you know there's a pretty good chance you're going to lose. The one time there was pass interference on the defensive side that's been overturned in recent weeks, somebody had T.Y. Hilton's arm, left arm, grabbed and pulled behind him as he was trying to catch a crossing route, which showed that there are situations where they will call pass interference via replay review, even though that's another one of those. It's like, how are you missing this thing in real time? And isn't that what that's the weirdest part to me? We are seeing so many instances of pass interference that are obvious that aren't being called by the officials. And even though they're obvious in replay review, Al Riveron's been told, thou shalt not throw the flag when you're replay reviewing these calls. And so we're left with a lot of confusion for fans and for media, and it's what and I know that teams are upset too, because the team's position is, why did you make us think you were going to actually use this and now you're not using it? And even now, like John Gruden said, he's going to keep throwing the red challenge flag, even though he should know deep down that they're not going to overturn these calls.
There is going to be a team that gets hot. There's going to be a team that turns their season around and does something that is either 500 or below it right now. That usually happens. Is there anyone that jumps out at you? Could the Steelers do something that we aren't expecting here?
Yeah, Mike Tomlin called it the stench of September when they were 0-3. They're 4-1 since then. Now, the quarterback issue gives me some concern, because Mason Rudolph has looked rocky at times, but it's the Steelers. They have that in their DNA, the ability to fight and scratch and claw and win. And I'll tell you what, a great opportunity coming up this weekend with the LA Rams coming to town. And it's kind of, I don't want to call it an elimination game, but for the Rams, they lose this one. When you look at the cluster of teams in the NFC and they fall to 5-4, that's going to be a tough one to overcome. And for the Steelers, the path is very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. If they stay within a game of the Ravens, and right now they aren't, but if they get within a game of the Ravens, entering week 17, and if they beat the Bengals and sweep the Browns along the way, week 17 is the AFC North Championship game. That's simple, because they would win the tiebreaker if they split the season series with the Ravens. And that would be something if the Steelers could pull that off. So just as we're starting to look at the Ravens possibly catching the Patriots for the top seed, there's still a chance the Steelers somehow, and as unthinkable as it would be. And I remember back in 1989, the Steelers got blown out 51-0 by the Browns week one, 48-17 by the Bengals week two. Everybody was done with the Steelers. They made it to the final eight that year.
Mike, the Browns are a bit of a train wreck, but this week it's interesting. They get Kareem Hunt back. He's eligible coming off that suspension. He's not on the 53 yet, but it looked like he might be. What do you expect there?
Well, Freddie Kitchens, the coach of the team, said yesterday there will be a role for Kareem Hunt. Now, they haven't said what the role is going to be, but, you know, it's not a huge upgrade over Nick Chubb, right? And here's the problem. Here's the fundamental issue. There's still only one football, and you've got Odell Beckham Jr., who is beside himself, that he's not getting the ball thrown his way. You've got to feed Jarvis Landry. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got Kareem Hunt. And I really do think something about Odell Beckham has contributed to, I'm not saying caused, but contributed to the regression of Baker Mayfield. And I don't know if it's that pressure of knowing that Beckham is there and I've got to find a way to force him the ball, so maybe I'm looking at him longer than I should before I go to my second read, because I want to give him a chance to get open, because I want to get him the football, because if he doesn't get the football, he's going to whine about not getting the football because he does that. But or maybe it's just good old-fashioned Kobe and Shaq, this town isn't big enough for both of us type of stuff. But there's something there. There's something there. This has not worked the way they thought it would. And when you add another skill position player into the mix, you're gonna magnify the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. isn't getting the ball as much as he'd like to. I mean, that to me, that's one of the most fascinating stories. This transition from the Giants to the Browns has not gone anywhere close to the way we thought it would. And Beckham's numbers are down, and his frustration is up, and the Browns are 2-6. They probably have to run the table to comfortably get in. If they lose even one more, that's 9-7. Who knows if 9-7 gets you in or not in the AFC?
Mike, you know, it's obvious that tanking works in a lot of professional sports, but not in the NFL. No one tries it in the NFL. Well, the Dolphins were trying, and then they got a little Fitzmagic. Did they lose by winning?
Well, yeah. And that's the one thing the NFL won't address, the disconnect between the idea that everybody tries to win every single game, no matter how bad their record is, and the reward that comes from being bad. And I don't believe in the full season tank, but once you know that the season is lost, why not get the highest possible draft pick? You know, like look at the Bears, right? Once they, I don't want to say mathematically eliminated, but once you're as a practical matter eliminated, why do you want to win games and drive your draft stock down?
So Oakland doesn't have a better pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Never mind.
That, you know, we were talking about
Wild
that.
Room.
Oops.
There was a possibility that somewhere in the deep recesses, the Bears would have the number 32 pick and Oakland would have the number 33 pick, and the Bears have that second-round pick, so it would be perfect. Right now, I think it's 10-49.
What rounds do they have, though?
They have two in the second.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oakland's in their own.
Yeah.
Not much.
But at least it could be a high second-round pick. I mean, the temptation clearly won't be as strong as it would be for other teams. But, yeah, it's – oh, man. It makes it even worse. Like, if you're 3-4 this year and you weren't 12-4 last year, you can kind of live with that. Hey, we're scratching, we're clawing, we're fighting, we're not dead yet. But it makes it so much worse when it comes a year after what felt like the first year of what was going to be – a magical period for the Bears. And how many times have we seen that over the last 30 years? And really, you can go back to the 85 Bears, right? How many Super Bowls did we think the Bears were going to win? And it was one. And even now, like every time they have a great year, before you, and maybe this is the lesson for the next time they have a great year, don't assume there's going to be another great year behind it.
All righty, Mike. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and of course, NBC Sports. God, he is always prepared.
Good
always
stuff.
Has a great
yeah,
answer for
definitely.
You. All right, we're gonna bring in Dan and Connor next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Breaking news on the Score is powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening at the Progressive Box.
I wrote this next song for a gal from Cheyenne. Should never have told her how Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats. She said if they could love her pooch as much as she did, then so could I. Well, I couldn't. This next song's called Cat Person. It was a rough, rough night in Wyoming. The cat was out of the bag.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
When a water heater goes, it waits for no one. Neither should you. And thanks to the Home Depot's same-day installation of water heaters, you won't have to. Right now, you can also get 10% off Rheem, America's number one water heater, when you have it installed. So why wait? For same-day water heater installation, just look to the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid through November 27th. Excludes tankless models. Other restrictions apply. For license numbers, see homedepot.com/waterheaterinstall.
Listen up, America. Why in the world would you start your day with an unwrapped, zip-zap, sad sack breakfast mishap when the McDonald's app lets you order, pay, and pick up a nice and hot griddle sizzle breakfast with a tap-tippity-tap? I think I just rhyme-answered my own rhyme question. McDonald's mobile order and pay. Just order in the app, pass the line with the tap, and wake up breakfast with McDonald's. Mobile order and pay at participating McDonald's. McDonald's app download and registration required.
At Capital One, you can open a new savings account in about 5 minutes and earn five times the national average. 5 minutes? That's less time than you spend arguing about how to pronounce GIF.
Wait, GIF or JIF?
Hard G. less time than you spend trying to stick to your paleo diet.
Resist the carbs. Ooh, brownies.
No brownies. That's about 5 minutes to earn five times the national average savings rate. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
Looking for plumbing and heating supplies? Don't fumble away your time and money with those other places. Go to supplyhouse.com.